Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we're yet another day closer to the SEC championship and the game of the year. The Saints and the 49ers can't wait. As we get closer to this weekend, a lot of activity. Looking forward to it as well. We have a great show lined up for you today. In the last hour, we're going to be going to the border, the Arizona-Mexico border, and talking to Dave Ray, Communications Director of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, talking about the cartels, talking about methamphetamines, talking about fentanyl, talking about drug trafficking that's moving across the border, southern border, and the issues and the challenges that are presented for Customs and Border Control agents down there. In the second hour, we're going to be talking about a most recent study that was presented to one of the committees for the council yesterday on domestic violence and municipal court dispositions. We'll hear from folks from United Way, Kim Sport and Shermaine Cassiope, as well as Mary Claire Landry, the executive director of the New Orleans Family Justice Center. In this hour, homelessness, always a challenge in many cities across the country. We actually have some good news. And Martha Cagle, Executive Director, Unity of Greater New Orleans, joins us to talk about that. Martha, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Newell. Great to be here.
So, Martha, you guys have an exciting announcement. As a not-for-profit, y'all received a grant. Tell us about it.
Well, it was very exciting. The day before it was formally announced, I actually got an email directly from Jeff Bezos, which doesn't happen every day, the head of Amazon. And so that was very exciting. And then the next day it was announced that our collaborative, the Unity Homeless Services and Housing Collaborative, which is 60 organizations strong, had received a $2.5 million grant from Jeff Bezos. It's going to go over a five-year period, but this kind of flexible funds is really a tremendous boost, and New Orleans certainly has a high need for these funds.
What a shot in the arm that is. It's a testament to you guys, because I understand this is a competitive grant. There are a lot of organizations across the country that actually compete for this grant. Is that correct?
That is correct, but what is also really unique about this is that you can't just apply for these funds. You can only apply for these funds by invitation. And so we were selected because of our track record, because we as a collaborative have shown an ability to make tremendous progress with whatever resources we're given. Even when we're not given very many resources, we still are able to make a lot of progress. So one thing that our collaborative here in New Orleans and Jefferson Parish has done is we're believed to be the first in the nation to have reduced the average length of time that all families in our community spend homeless to less than 45 days. So before that, a few years ago, we had families who were homeless for a whole year before they would finally get out of homelessness. We had an average length of homelessness of 4 months, and we've reduced that to only 41 days, and we've maintained that for the last couple of years. That means from the time that the family first has to start sleeping in their car or sleeping in a homeless shelter to the day that we're actually able to give them the key to their own apartment and they're no longer homeless, we have reduced that to 41 days or less.
This grant is a total of $98.5 million for the entire country. So getting 2.3 or 2.5 that you address, that's a significant amount of money over the next 5 years. So strategically, what is the biggest challenge that you guys face as a collaborative in trying to address this homelessness problem?
Yes, and I will say that this is actually supplements a $5 million grant that Catholic Charities of New Orleans received the year before, which is also a five-year grant. So we're working in collaboration with them to really maximize the impact of these two Bezos Foundation grants by putting them together. In essence, we're actually meeting with them tomorrow about the coordination of it. But what we're going to do with these latest funds, basically four things. We are going to improve our outreach, particularly in Kenner and to the Spanish-speaking community, so that we can do a better job of identifying and helping families who are homeless in those communities. Second thing, this kind of money allows us to do something that we would never be able to do otherwise, and that is to really lower barriers that exist in our shelter system. New Orleans has a very unique family shelter system in that many of our families have to pay to go into shelter, which is just not the case in the vast majority of the country. So that is really a major hardship on top of, you know, having to be homeless, that the family actually has to pay for shelter or has to go around from church to church to try to find a church that has vouchers available to pay for that. So we'd like to lower that barrier. We'd like to get rid of that barrier to shelter. And then the third thing is that we're hoping to expand our problem-solving services to help families avoid homelessness, because the experience of homelessness, even in the very best shelter, is a trauma for those children and for that family, and we'd rather have families be able to avoid that if at all possible. And last but not least, we're going to be able to expand our employment services, which are so critically needed. It means that families are being pitched into homelessness every day, and we all need to do more as a community, and so it's wonderful to have these resources.
I'm always intrigued with the number three, problem solving, because multi-systemic approach to a number of things. Because homelessness, is it fair to say that that's really an outcome of just a lot of other contributing factors?
You know, Noel, it is true that oftentimes the people that fall into homelessness do have particular individual vulnerabilities, but the main driving force that causes homelessness is a structural factor of escalating rents. There have been study after study done by economists that show that the shortage of affordable rental housing in a community is by far and away the factor that explains why one community might have a higher rate of homelessness than another. It's not that that community has a higher rate of, for example, mental illness or substance use disorders compared to other communities. It comes down to, does your community have a shortage of affordable rental housing? And we have had, New Orleans and surrounding area has had such a unique situation happen since Katrina, where our rents have escalated. You know, we became for a while the most rapidly growing city in America. A lot of people discovered us. Rents have skyrocketed, and the ascendancy of the Airbnb, the short-term rental phenomenon in a city that depends so heavily on tourism, has been devastating to our community in terms of the low-income people who make up 28% of the population of the city of New Orleans and a large part of the population of Louisiana generally. And so for them, I mean, fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment right now is over $1,000 a month. And we have the federal minimum wage. Our state doesn't supplement that, as most states are now doing. So for a, let's say, a mom with two or three kids, if she's a single mom and she's making minimum wage, she's making $14,500 a year. A two-bedroom apartment is over $1,000, so that leaves her like $200 a month to pay for everything else that her family needs. And even if she went to a one-bedroom apartment and tried to cram everybody into a one-bedroom apartment, you know, that's $844 a month. So you can see that the numbers just don't work out for people who are, in many cases, doing the kind of work that our community really depends upon.
Yeah, the exacerbation.
Kind of jobs that we all.
I was going to say the exacerbation of the working poor. We talk about this on the show all the time. Just yesterday, we were talking about 44% of the people in the country are working at a job that pay $18,000 or less annually.
Yeah, it's really hard. And, you know, when you have, you know, a mom fleeing domestic violence and she's having to take care of her kids and trying to make it, and she may not have, a good educational background, it's really a struggle. So, you know, we can't allow kids to have this kind of trauma. We have to do something that, you know, really helps these families get back on their feet and then really helps them establish the ability to, you know, survive and thrive without, having to constantly cycle back into homelessness.
Yeah, you know, and
definitely be
nationally, the housing market. I was just reading a study just yesterday that they're predicting 2020, it's actually going to get worse. In a lot of the major metro markets, the top 100, prices the supply of housing is not going to be there, and it's going to continue to exacerbate the exact problem you just outlined.
Yeah, the gap between the haves and the have-nots in our country is really severe. And New Orleans in particular has a very big gap between the haves and the have-nots. Fortunately, I think our community is generous. People want to help. There's a lot of people volunteering and contributing to our member organizations. And, we're looking forward to this grant really being able to improve our efforts. But the real solution, you know, that we all need to get involved in is that we need to just insist that more affordable rental housing be created, because it's just shameful that people that are the backbone of our community in terms of the jobs that they're doing are having to be homeless with a full-time job.
Well, the failure of the previous city administration as it related to blight remediation, so many properties falling out of the stream of commerce, everyone recognized that in the immediate aftermath of Katrina. We thought that there were strategic plans that had been put in place, none of which were implemented and or executed successfully. And here we are so many years afterwards, and we're still dealing with the same blighted housing problem that we have. We actually have a healthy supply. It's just not in the stream of commerce. And unless and until we begin to take that a lot more serious, we're landlocked already, and then we're locked by ineffective, inefficient implementation of meaningful strategies to put more of this housing back into the stream of commerce. That's kind of
We need some momentum. We need some momentum around doing it, but we also need to be cognizant that we've had a lot of opportunities even recently that have not been fully utilized, where we're not making sure that apartments are being created for families that may not be able to, are not anywhere near being in a position to own a whole house by themselves. They need affordable rental housing, and so much of it has been taken off the market, either to make, you know, sort of high-end condos, oftentimes for people who don't even live here. You know, this is like a second, third, fourth home or a corporate condo, or for short-term rentals. We've just lost a lot of affordable rental housing.
Well, I would argue that you always want a healthy mix, and you got to go about strategically determining that mix, because those are what I refer to as free contributors to the tax base. They consume little or no resources, and they're paying a healthy amount of taxes in order to have the benefit of having that type of third or fourth location here. And so when you're talking about from an investment standpoint, that's not a bad sector to have. And so, but it highlights the other missed opportunities that you have in your housing mix within a geographic area that we have just failed miserably. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we're landlocked, so we have inflated land prices. And I agree with you, without some other contributor to it, whether it be a tax incentive or otherwise, you're not going to get people investing in a building of apartments here because land acquisition is too high. Their internal rate of return on their investment is not high enough. They have trouble getting financing, and the problem continues to exacerbate themselves. It's not really a developer problem. Developers can choose to develop anywhere they want. They have an economic model that they have to sustain. If they can't, they're not going to build here. So we got to figure out a creative, exotic way of having them being able to develop these very properties that we have that are out there sitting, a lot of them not even paying their property taxes. They're blighted, and we're not doing anything to get them back into the stream of commerce. And, you know, so we've done this to ourselves in many respects. And I think we will continue to have, because I'm very concerned about a growing homeless population, as we've seen in California. In fact, Governor Gavin Newsom just announced a new housing person over there. They're in a crisis, so much so now they've waved the white flag saying, we don't have the assets or resources necessary to deal with it. We have to look to the federal government to provide the sustenance, but we don't want them to impose any restrictions on the money. We just want the money. Well, it's not going to work that way. And that's part of the issue that we don't want to have to find ourselves in, I think, at the end of the day. Having said that, though, Martha, thank you so much for coming on today. And congratulations on receiving this grant. I think it really is a testament to you guys bringing multiple disciplines to the table in a collaborative effort and setting yourself apart from so many others that do some of the same things you do, but they just don't do it as well. And we appreciate saying.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All righty. Martha Cagle, Executive Director, Unity of Greater New Orleans. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.